Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast, where you'll learn how to become the most unstoppable, healthy, fit, and confident version of yourself your way. Listen in as I drop weekly real and raw solo episodes and interviews with industry professionals covering all things fitness, mindset, and personal development to inspire and teach you how to get results and level up on your terms. I'm your host, MJ, certified personal trainer, nutrition, mindset, and personal development coach. I cannot wait to share today's episode with you. So let's get into it. Hello, fam. Welcome back to the Fit Life with MJ podcast. I am super excited for today's episode. You guys know I love connecting with humans who just seem to have that deep mindset connection and just like super self-aware. And it's even better when I meet someone who is actually a coach or mentor in that area, because you just know they're going to bring the fire with tips and advice and inspo on how to level up our own emotional intelligence and self-awareness and therefore our lives, because we are all about becoming our best. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you to my new friend, Eleanor, who is an emotional healer, trauma healing coach and mentor as well, and confidence coach. We met through our mutual friend, Dion, who she's worked with before. We met at a business event of his that I went to recently, and I just knew I wanted to have this amazing human on the podcast. So I cannot wait for you to introduce yourself, lovely. Please tell our audience, what exactly is it you do, who you help, the results they get, how long you've been doing it. That's a lot. I hope you can remember.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I love having these conversations and just connecting with, new people and your listeners. So thank you for having me. It's so cool how we met, just through a mutual friend at a business event. So I love that. So I am an emotional regulation and confidence mentor and coach for women. So I help women learn how to regulate their nervous system and really master their emotions through inner child healing, trauma healing, nervous system regulation, so that they can really step into being their most confident and just authentic version of themselves. I have been doing this for the past 12 months, and prior to that, I was a social worker for many, many years. So I've been in this space for a long time.
I love the work you do. I feel like there's a lot of personal trainers, obviously me coming from a personal training background, but there are a lot of trainers moving into the self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and personal development space, because I think what we all notice is it's one thing to get fit and healthy, but it leads you down this rabbit hole of really, how can I tap into the best, highest level of myself? And people like yourself who actually dive deep into that are really at the core of helping everyone really uncover the best versions of themselves, I think, because our limiting beliefs and the traumas placed on us through our lives are what hold us back from that.
Totally. So totally.
I'm excited.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's all connected.
I'm excited, right? For this chat.
Yeah. All connected, isn't it? Like, our body and our minds, like, you can't just rely on like motivation alone. Like, it requires the discipline, which requires the mindset and like the emotional regulation. So it's all so connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. What tend to be some of the main things you help your clients overcome?
Yeah, totally.
What's the most common thing that you deal with?
The most common thing would be learning how to, I guess, regulate their emotions. So I would see clients that have come to me with saying things such as they don't feel confident, they've got people-pleasing traits, they are struggling with self-worth, they're struggling with anxiety. And those are all symptoms of not knowing how to regulate our emotions and having unhealed, unprocessed like emotional wounds or trauma. I'd say those are the main things. So yeah, confidence, people pleasing, boundaries, and learning how to regulate their emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Such key things that I think everyone I don't think there's a person on this planet that doesn't benefit from that kind of work. What kinds of people do you typically help? Like, you're helping them uncover their emotional and mental limitations. What's that then allowing them to go and do or be better at in their lives?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. So a lot of the times after I finished working with clients, they say to me that they just feel more connected to their body. So they're feeling more, I guess, like safe and at home in their body. They're more aware of their thoughts and their emotions and how to actually deal with it when there is like an uncomfortable emotion that comes up. Clients often say to me that they're now able to redirect their thoughts. So rather than getting stuck in that pattern or that cycle of kind of ruminating and going over and over and then becoming that kind of ball of anxiety, they're able to notice it. And then they're able to implement one of the strategies that I've taught them to then kind of redirect, or just allow it to kind of flow through them. Allowing themselves to feel uncomfortable emotions. So rather than just like suppressing or avoiding or trying to like dismiss or just like numb out to things that don't feel comfortable, they feel, safe to be able to hold themselves through that process. So they're able to actually feel it and let it like discharge and process without avoiding it.
Love that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who hear the word personal development or emotional intelligence and they just think it's all very woo-woo, or it's not massively a well-known, I guess, treatment method at the moment. It's still kind of up and coming, I think, to the point where it's widely accepted and known.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there that probably don't realize that that's really what they get out of it. Like the depths that you can go to with understanding what your emotions are saying about you and doing to you and how to actually regulate them to get the outcomes you want.
Exactly. That's it. Because then it does result in like those outcomes kind of like down the track. So you might then notice that you're able to like communicate a boundary easier without like feeling that anxiety, or you are feeling more confident at work. So you're speaking up in meetings more, and then that might result in like getting a promotion. They might just be living more like in alignment with who they authentically are. And it just ripples out into like so many different aspects of life.
Yes, I love that. Have you got any, I guess, standout responses you've had from people you've worked with in an outcome that that's allowed them to have, whether it could be relationship-based, career-based, or anything at all, where the work they've done with you, what outcome it's allowed them to then go and achieve?
Oh, it just cut out. Where the work they've done with me.
Oh no, we've got a bit of an audio connection issue here, guys. So we're working through it at the best that we can. What was my question? My question was any standout outcomes.
Yeah,
from the work they've done with you that it's allowed them to achieve in their work or any area of their life.
Yeah, that's a great question. One client does come to mind. One client comes to mind, and she would say to me, we'd work together, she'd say to me, I always thought I had to like stop the anxiety. Like I always thought the point of, she'd seen like counselors and psychologists and all of these things previously. And she's like, I always thought I just needed to learn how to stop the anxiety so that it would go away. And we worked on, I guess, just understanding that anxiety, there's going to be times where you feel anxious, but it's about in those moments, what can you do to allow yourself to feel it, move through it and feel okay during that? And I thought that was really cool. Like she was like, I thought I had to stop it. And it's like, no, we don't need to stop it. We just need to learn how to be okay with it and hold ourselves through it. And then what that resulted in with for her was she was single and she was dating at the time. And she found that she was, I guess, just attracting not the type of man she was looking for. She was attracting men that seemed to be quite passive. They weren't necessarily taking the lead. They weren't really planning dates. They weren't kind of, I guess, taking it as seriously and as intentionally as what she wanted to. And through working with me, she was able to start communicating to these men, like, what she was actually looking for, what her kind of, not expectations, but like how she felt best respected in those dynamics and how she wanted that dating phase to go. And so I thought that was really cool for someone that had never been able to kind of stand up for themselves or articulate boundaries. She was developing the confidence to then, in a quite vulnerable situation, like dating can be quite intimidating, it can feel quite anxiety provoking. And she was able to confidently like communicate to these men what she was looking for, how she wanted it to go. And then she was also able to like walk away from things confidently if they weren't serving her.
Oh, I love that. I know even for myself for a long time, so many of us stay stuck in this cycle of just putting up with what life throws at us, not realizing how actually in control we can be. All we've got to do is tap into our mindset and learn how to regulate those emotions and act in the way that we want to, not just the way that our emotions make us react.
Yes.
And thinking that we're just a victim to circumstance. I love how you achieved that for her. And I'm sure that's just a tiny speck in the ocean of the real power that you've been able to create with a lot of your clients in the same way.
Yeah.
I love that. Have you helped it? Because my followers, my listeners are going to love this as well, because a lot of them follow me for health and weight loss advice as well. I just know how powerful mindset, self-awareness, and emotional intelligence can be, and emotional healing can be for weight loss and weight management and obviously health control, because I do work with a lot of my girls who are struggling with the mindset side of things that's, you know, keeping them in those low motivation, binge eating cycles, struggling to stay consistent with exercise and healthy eating, and there's a myriad of self-doubt and mindsets that come into that. In your own, I guess, experience, if you've worked with anyone in that way, what have you seen the work you do, or how have you seen the work you do positively impact girls who are trying to improve their weight or health physically?
Yeah, totally. And it goes back to that piece of how it's all so interconnected, right? Like if we wake up and we're just feeling a bit like, oh, we're not feeling great, then we might make the decision to not do what we plan to do. So we might decide to say we'd scheduled in to either go to the gym, go to Pilates, go for a walk. And then you wake up, you're not feeling great, and you're like, oh, I'm just not going to do that. And so then you don't do that thing. And then that kind of ripples into the rest of your day. You're not feeling probably as good as you would have felt. And then you might start beating yourself up because you didn't do what you'd said you were going to do. And then that affects so many different things. It might affect how you communicate at work or how you communicate with your partner, and it might cause a fight. And then it kind of ripples into your whole day, right? And this is the power of being so in tune with yourself and with your emotions that you can notice when you're feeling a certain way, and then you can discern whether it is because you genuinely do need a rest and that's totally okay, or if it's just because you're not feeling how you're expecting to be feeling. So then you make a decision from that, because our emotions, they affect our behavior and they affect our decisions. And then that impacts the decisions that we make for the rest of the day.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Right now, just due to the webcam setup, guys, Eleanor can't actually see my face while I'm listening to what she's saying, but I'm literally just a bobblehead nodding along. I have not stopped nodding to everything you just said. Spot on. Absolutely spot on. I've been absorbing so much personal development and self-awareness content from like high-level people recently, and watching a lot of documentaries from high-level coaches and people who just attained amazing results for their people. And not one of them has, I've not got through a single piece of content without hearing the words, you cannot let your emotions dictate your actions and decisions. Like, you've got to acknowledge the emotion and then take action from an external place of that.
And it comes down to like our beliefs about ourselves, right? Like, to tie it all back in, If we have the belief that we are ultimately not worthy of what we actually desire, then we're going to find ourselves in those patterns of self-sabotaging because we don't, like, quote unquote, feel like it. So we don't go to the gym, or we, like, it's easier to stay in bed. So we self-sabotage in those ways. And so when you've got this awareness of, okay, what is my kind of dominant underlying core belief or core wound that's come from childhood, because we've all got this subconscious core belief, right? Whether it's I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm too much, whatever it might be. And that's what's kind of playing out in our subconscious, and that affects our emotions and our decisions. So if we don't have that awareness of, okay, this is probably like an old pattern that's showing up that's causing me to self-sabotage and not stick to what I've said I'm going to do, whether that's like nutrition, whether it's movement, whatever it may be, and then we make decisions based off that, then that's when it ripples into we're not going to be achieving the goals we'd set for ourselves in terms of our health and well-being, our weight management.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I've lost count of the amount of conversations I've had along those lines with a lot of my girls, and obviously people who are coming into my DMs wanting help with, you know, binge eating and things like that. It does tend to manifest in those unhealthy self-sabotage kind of habits. And we sort of tend to punish ourselves because we want this outcome, but we don't know what's blocking us because we haven't done the emotional work to actually learn where it's coming from and overcome it from a root cause point of view.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. What are some ways that you think, this might be a really difficult question to answer, but I'm going to try and articulate it in the best way. What are some ways that you think people, because I know there's a lot of people listening to this episode right now who might think, oh, I'm not sure if I've got beliefs holding me back, or how do I know? How do I tell? What are some things you would say to those people that ways that they could be affected by their emotions or a childhood trauma that could be keeping them stuck in unhealthy habits, but they don't realize it yet? What are some things they could do to find out if that could be what's causing it?
Yeah, totally. The first way is through like self-awareness. So if we haven't really taken the time to kind of like turn inward and to, I guess, like question and just kind of uncover what's going on for ourselves, then we might not even be aware that we do have certain patterns playing out. Oftentimes I'll talk to clients and like I'll ask them, like, what are you feeling in your body? Like, what's going on for you? And they often say to me, like, oh, I don't know. And it's because, like, if we haven't been taught to actually notice what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, what body sensations we have going on, then we've become like so disconnected from that part of ourselves, right? So the first step I would say is to develop that self-awareness and that body awareness. And that's a process of, with the body awareness, it's a process of just checking in. So like making an intentional effort throughout the day to check in to your body. So to take a few moments to be in stillness, to be not distracted, and to actually like ask yourself, like, how do I feel? Like, how does my body feel? Can I notice that there is some tension somewhere? Can I notice that my chest feels tight? Do I feel a bit anxious? Like, is there something going on? And just that simple process of like starting to notice is going to connect you more to your emotions and to your body. And then it starts to become like second nature, right? Then we start to become more aware of what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. And then in terms of like the mindset stuff, so practice, like noticing, do I have behaviors or patterns that seem to keep repeating? Is there like a situation in my life that seems to keep showing up? And is it something that I'm wanting to change? And then going into that, like going inward on that, journaling on that, trying to, I just guess, uncover for yourself, like, what is this pattern? Where has it come from? Is it something that's serving me, or is it something that's ultimately like holding me back and not serving me?
Yes, absolutely. I love that. That is such a simple, great way to start, like just reflecting inward on noticing your patterns and noticing your feelings. And yeah, what were you going to
say? Yeah, and just like prioritizing that time, because so often we can become so disconnected, right? We numb out, we suppress, we avoid, we don't want to feel a certain way. So we like distract ourselves, we keep ourselves really busy. We're always working on like projects or seeing friends or goals or whatever it is, that we don't give ourselves that time to actually like sit with ourselves. So it can feel uncomfortable if you've never practiced it before.
Yeah, it really can. It really can. I've obviously felt those feelings myself and still to this day, because the more you do it, the more things come up. Like, there's never really a point, well, from what I hear and from my experience so far, you never reach a point where you've ticked all the boxes. You're like, cool, I've healed everything. There's nothing to come up anymore. There's always something. You have a moment and you're like, oh, that triggered that in me. I almost responded this way. And then you can collect yourself and think logically and then respond in a way that's actually going to be more beneficial to you, instead of, you know, blowing up in the moment or hiding away, I guess. But yeah, it can be definitely, to your point, hard. And our ego wants to protect us from pain. So it's going to come up with all the excuses under the sun as to why we shouldn't do it.
Totally.
But I think it's so powerful. And then, of course, I think another thing, which is why I love what you do and people who do what you do, getting guidance, getting the right guidance to help navigate your journey through self-awareness, because some dark stuff can come up. And if you don't know how to deal with it, you're just going to relive those traumas.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to risk like putting yourself back into that stress response, that trauma response. So having guidance is, so powerful, so beneficial. And also, if it's a pattern that's been playing out your whole life, if it's a subconscious belief, you need someone to kind of help you uncover what it is as well, because it's likely it's been with you your entire life and it's probably a blind spot to you. So that's also really powerful, like having a coach, having a mentor, someone that can help you uncover what it is, so then they can help you work through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God for people like you. I will drop your contact details. So fam, anyone, everyone listening, I will drop Eleanor's contact info and you can connect with her on Tinder for emotional healing coaches. Connect with her on socials in a platonic way. And follow along. All of her content is freaking amazing. I love it. It's just little nuggets of like tangible nuggets of inspo every day. So definitely jump on. It'll all be in the show notes. I would love to know, and feel free, share what you are comfortable sharing, but what is something that you've gone through, like, I guess one of the hardest things that you've gone through that the work you do helped you get through? And how did you use it to help you get through?
Yeah, big question. For me, so I cared for my dad until he died, and he died about, it's coming up in 2 years. It'll be 2 years in December, so almost 24 months ago. And I would say that was probably, I guess, the most challenging emotional thing I've gone through as an adult. So the process of like the actual caring, and then also the death, and then the grief. I would say that's definitely the most challenging thing I've gone through. And certainly having the tools and the strategies that I know was like so powerful, right? So I remember during that time, especially after he died, like oftentimes people would say to me like, oh, just keep busy, like just distract yourself, like you should get straight back to work, like just like throw yourself into keeping your time occupied. And I was just like, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I was like, that's not helpful, that's not what I need. And my nervous system, like I was exhausted. Like my nervous system was exhausted. My nervous system was quite fried. And so I really just like my only focus during that time, during like the grief after he died, was to focus on just like regulating my nervous system and bringing myself back to me. And I just spent so much time doing that. And that was all I focused on. And I'm so grateful that I had those tools and I had that knowledge, because otherwise I would have taken the advice that people were giving me of like keeping busy, distracting, avoiding. And we know that's not healthy, right? Like the more we suppress something, it's going to sit there and it's going to come back out later. It doesn't go away. Like everything we experience emotionally is experienced in our body. It's all stored here. And if we don't allow ourselves to feel it and move through it and process it and integrate it, it stays and it's going to come back up later. And I'm so grateful that I had the time and the space and the knowledge that I was able to just hold myself through that. I'd done the nervous system work to, I guess, have the capacity to allow myself to still feel okay and feel safe in those periods and those moments. And I knew that I had the tools to hold myself energetically to make sure that I could process in a way that was supportive for me.
Yes, I love that. And it's such a powerful position to be in, to be able to hold space for yourself like that. That's something I've really had to learn to do as well, is because I'm a Taurus and I think my rising is Leo. So I'm like, go, go, go. In your face, yeah. Like my listeners are probably like, yep. But for me, that's I sit in my masculine a lot. And for me, I have to think consciously, like to sit in my feminine, because I feel funny about it. I'm like, oh, I feel like about sitting in my feminine. Like I'm going to go to a day spa. Like,
I love that.
Like it's so easy to... If you're not aware of these things, though, and how they could be holding you back. Because for me, so like, for example, our society's idea of, you know, a feminine girl is all, you know, Elle Woods, very pretty, very, you know, although she's a bit masculine too because she like go, go, go in law school, but like very pretty, very, you know, gets the nails, gets the hair, gets the all of the girly things and complete pampers themselves. Whereas for me, like I'm not the full on like pamper myself girly girl type. Mm-hmm. Like I have a few of those traits, but for me, that's the idea that has been placed on me from society of this is what feminine is. And I feel like, oh, but that's not me. Does that mean I can't be feminine?
Yeah.
And then becoming more self-aware now has helped me realize that, and this is why I teach a lot of my fam now that, you know, just because you think something has to be a certain way doesn't mean it does. Your right way of doing things is always out there. So for me, I've had to really do a lot of deep work and think, okay, well, I'm not the type to go and pamper myself at a salon to make me feel good and feel feminine and feel like that's in my flow state. What is going to put me in that state? You know, it doesn't have to be what society's idea of girly is. And I think understanding that can be really beneficial too. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally, totally. And then it's like uncovering like the next layer of that, right? So like when we talk about feminine and masculine, it's like looking at the energy, like what's the energy of the feminine, what's the energy of the masculine? And the energy of the feminine is that creative, the slow, the flow, the presence. It's the being in the body. And so it's like, okay, so what allows you to feel that way? It doesn't need to be nails. Like it might be a walk on the beach, like barefoot in the sand. It might be like just being out in the sun and feeling the sun on your skin. It might just be slowing down. Like it doesn't mean we need to subscribe to like day spas as a way of like nourishing our feminine energy. It's just like, what is something that helps you connect to that energy and connect to like, and to nourish that energy within you. And so much about it is about slowing down and being in presence and not being in that kind of like hustle, go, go, go all the time, which it's so easy to get wrapped up in, right? Because that's the way society is built. That's the way society functions. And so it's, yeah, about being intentional about that and how can we return back to that feminine energy. And I did prioritize a lot of that, as well last year. There was a lot of, going to yoga is a massive one for me. So Yoga allows me to be in my body. It's a mindful practice. It's connecting the breath with the body, which is so nourishing and so supportive to our nervous system and to our emotions.
I love that. Yeah. And you just sort of made me realize another thing, just a little bit of blind spot being uncovered here. is like a lot of people would think weightlifting is a masculine thing. It's like, get in, do the hard work. But for me, that's my way of connecting to my body. I love the process of that. So kind of just was today years old when I realized that that's me tapping into my feminine energy as well.
Totally. Totally. Because it's so much more than just like the weights in the gym, isn't it? It's like you're in your body, you're present, you're like doing something that's so committed to yourself. Like it's such a practice of self-devotion and self-love. Like prioritizing our physical health is just, it's such a powerful practice of self-devotion. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So healing, so healing. Obviously, that's what got you through your father's passing as well.
Yeah, massive.
Another point I wanted to make off the back of that before I went down the rabbit hole of masculine versus feminine was that a lot of people don't realize that where that whole part came from was because the point I was going to make was a lot of people don't realize the effects that them suppressing their emotions is having. They're not noticing it manifesting in other areas of their lives. Yeah. And so they think they've gotten over it.
Yeah.
Or they think they've just dealt with it like a champ.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden other bits of their life start falling apart, which I guess is where the coaching and the mentoring and guidance really comes in handy.
Yeah, totally.
You've got to first have the awareness.
Totally.
That something's up.
Totally. And like even more to that point, if we don't feel safe to feel our emotions, we are going to naturally just be more in our masculine energy because we're going to want to just keep busy. We're going to be like hustling, keeping busy, like being like sticking to all the things. We're going to be trying to suppress that part of ourselves, which is going to push us into our masculine energy, which is then going to not, we're not going to be feeling our best. Like if we are not supporting our feminine energy, we're not going to be feeling great. It's going to feel like anxiety. It's going to feel like we need to control ourselves and people around us. And that doesn't feel supportive to people that do have a feminine core energy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the fact that it's really important to have both feminine and masculine, to tap into both for holistic mental and physical health. And it's like there's this badge of honor to sit in your masculine and be a doer. And especially in today's go, go, go society, we're not realizing that slowing down is actually speeding up.
Yeah.
So I think getting the word out there, making awareness like this is really powerful. So I love that. What was it that actually got you into this line of work? Was there something that you went through, or has it just been like a succession of, I guess, where did it all start?
Yeah, totally. Great question. So I was a social worker. So I was a social worker for many, many years. I worked in the acute hospital systems. So I worked a lot in the emergency department, the intensive care unit. I worked a lot in end-of-life care. And I also worked in the orthopedic ward, which was when people had a physical accident or injury. If they'd been in like a physical trauma, they would come to the orthopedic ward. And it was really during this time. So I would talk to patients and so many of them. So as a social worker, we got referred for either adjustment to illness counseling, like post acute stress counseling, so post being in a accident, workplace accident, car accident, whatever it may have been. And so I was talking to people about their mood and their emotions and how they were coping, how they were feeling, how they were reacting, how their family was reacting. And it was really during this, I would see people that may have had like previous diagnosis of anxiety or depression. They may have been seeing psychologists or counselors for years and years. And I just started to notice that what I was doing as a social worker in terms of like the talking therapy and then what the patients were telling me they'd had previously from working with other counselors or psychologists, they were still experiencing the thing that they went to those therapists for. Like they were still experiencing the anxiety or the flashbacks, the low mood, the stress, whatever it may have been. And it just seemed like there was just something missing. Like it seemed like there was such a gap. It was like, okay, people are talking through all of these things, but it doesn't seem like things are getting better for people. They're still experiencing the same symptoms. And that's what got me really curious. And I was like, there needs to be a better way. Like, there needs to be a more holistic way. There needs to be something more that I can offer these people that's actually going to help them achieve like healing and just feeling good in the long term. Like, it's so sad when you talk to people and they've been experiencing anxiety or depression for so many years and it's just become their new normal. And I was just curious and I was like, there needs to be a better way. Like, there needs to be something more. And that's when I kind of got into the world of, I guess, personal development, self-growth, whatever you want to call it. And I started on my own journey. I started going to seminars and reading books and just learning all of the things. And then I looked into coaching. And so then I started studying a coaching certification and started learning about trauma and about somatic healing. Somatic basically just means the body. So soma means the body. And so it was about how can we involve the body with the mind so that we're not just doing the cognitive work. We're not just using the mind. We're using the body as well. So yeah, that I studied my certification and that's how I've ended up here. So now I'm able to have like a really integrative approach, right? I'm able to use the talking therapy, like my psychotherapy skills, as well as the somatic healing, the body-based stuff. So yeah, that's how we got here.
I absolutely love that. So I guess the somatic therapy, that has to be performed in person?
No, so I see most of my clients on Zoom. So it's so it can be done over online, and it's a lot of kind of accessing the subconscious. So it's a lot of like energy healing, accessing the subconscious through like meditative states, things like that.
Love. I think I need some of that myself. Tap into some deeper levels, yeah. MJ. See what's down there to be recovered. I love that you can connect with your clients online, though. I think the online space is just such a powerful place for these kinds of therapies now for people to reach. I think something that's really important about health and wellness is you have to resonate with the person who is coaching and guiding
you. Totally.
It can be one thing to do this kind of emotional healing with someone who you don't really connect with. You're not going to get that depth of actual results from it. And when you're limited to just the people in your town, you'd be lucky if you even had an emotional healer in your town, like when the internet wasn't around. Whereas now there's just, we've got so much access to people who we can actually deeply connect with and find our person.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Exactly. There's so much available online. Like, there's so much free content to start with. We've got so much available to us.
Yeah, I definitely think anyone who is listening to this and just thinking, yeah, I would love to tap into that and see if I've got any of those, you know, childhood traumas or emotional things holding me back, keeping me in unhealthy loops, whether it's, you know, binge eating or struggling to stay motivated and consistent with your health, or maybe it's relationship issues or just anxiety, depression and things like that, like get to the bottom of what it could be that's triggering that and causing it. I think, yeah, definitely following along Eleanor's content is definitely a great place to start. So like I said earlier, I'll definitely pop your socials in the show notes so that everyone can match with you. Tinder style, swipe right. How can people come into your world? What current services or what ways are you offering your services at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited. I have just launched Ivory Academy, which is a go-to mental and emotional wellness membership. So I wanted to be able to bring this to people in like a really easy and accessible, affordable way. So the Academy is a membership. It's like a month to month, no commitment, no lock-in contracts, nothing like that. And each month we are focusing on, we have 8 pillars of wellness, which is my framework, my foundation. And each month we will have 2 masterclasses. And it'll either be presented by myself or one of the experts that I have in my network. And then we also, every other week, we have a live healing call, a live Q&A call. It's like hot seat coaching. You can jump on, you can ask any questions, kind of like a mental health check-in. Plus there's like a meditation library, a journaling library, there's embodiment practices. Like there is so much in there. It's incredible. I'm so excited for it. So that's launching for October. So that's my project at the moment. And then I have one-on-one coaching spots as well. And yeah.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That is so incredible. Just the depth of benefits that would come to a lot of girls from that, from the academy alone, let alone working one-on-one yeah. with you. So fam, I will drop links to check all of that out in the show notes. And obviously you can get in touch with Eleanor herself if you would like to talk about her services more or just anything in general with emotional healing, confidence, trauma healing, and all of those things. This has been such a fun chat. Like I could just sit here and talk to you about this all day. I love what we've been able to get out of this so far. I just know our listeners are going to love it as well. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It has been so fun.
Absolutely special. Yes, I love. Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we will have to tee up a gym session.
Yes, definitely. I didn't realize that. Yeah, we go to the same gym. We'll have to do that.
Yes. Love AM sessions for the win.
Yes.
Oh, fam, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoy this one as much as we have enjoyed creating it for you. And as always, please do not keep this to yourself. If you know anyone who you think would benefit from hearing today's episode, tell them about us, get them to search on Spotify, Apple, Google. And I would love it if you could pop over to the platform you're listening on and give us a 5-star review to help us get to the top of the list when people are searching for health and wellness podcasts so they can find us and we can reach more people and help more people spread the health. All right. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye for now.